We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Coach, how you doing?
Listen, I'm doing fine. I had a little setback physically, but I've recovered well, and I'm ready to go. I enjoyed the championship game last week. I had a grandson playing for Clemson, and I had obviously coached at Alabama, so it was a win-win situation for me in that game.
Got to root for the grandson over the team, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did. And also Dabo played for me at Alabama, but I had good close ties to both teams, and I think the best football team in this game won it.
Did you think Dabo would ever become a coach quite like this?
You know, I didn't really, when I hire a coach, people do different things. I look for, first of all, a good person and somebody that can communicate with a player, and also somebody that has knowledge of the game. And Dabo fit all three of those categories, and I hired him as a graduate assistant, and he did a good job, and I felt like he needed to get his master's, and then I hired him full-time, and what an outstanding job he did, and he continues to do, and he's got a good football team, good staff, and I think they'll be good for a long time.
We're talking with legendary football coach Gene Stallings here with the Bull and the Fox, and Coach Freddie Kitchens played for you in Alabama, of course. He's been a coach in the NFL for a while, but he had been a position coach for many years. Middle of the season, there's a coaching staff change in Cleveland. He gets promoted from running backs coach to offensive coordinator. And now, 2 months later, promoted again from offensive coordinator to head coach. You knew him a long time ago. Tell us about Freddie Kitchens, what you love about him, and why you think he's going to do a good job.
Well, first of all, he's extremely tough. I mean, he's a tough-minded youngster. He was coaching, playing for me at Alabama, and it was the last game I was going to retire. We were behind a couple of points and had 75 yards to go, no timeouts. He took the football team all the way to the length of the field and scored a touchdown, and we beat Auburn, and that's when I retired. And so I've always been extremely fond of Freddie anyway, but the way he performed in that particular game just made me love him that much more. But he's a tough guy. I mean, he's a physically tough. Some people are not as tough as others, and yet they're good players. His team will be a tough football team, I'll assure you that.
There's no question. And we really like the toughness of our quarterback here, Baker Mayfield, who maybe you remember from college at Oklahoma, of course, Heisman Trophy winner. He's a tough-minded kid. And then you pair that up with Freddie Kitchens, it's like two peas in a pod. We feel like this combination is dynamic.
Well, I'd followed the youngster when he was at Oklahoma. I live in Texas, and what a great job he did at Oklahoma, and for them to hook up together, I think it's a marriage that'll last for a long time.
What type of quarterback was Freddie Kitchens?
Freddie, he was not a finesse quarterback at all. In fact, as far as throwing the football, his leadership was better than his passing ability. When he would step in that huddle and he'd call a play, the players believed in him, and so I think we won 10, 11 games that year when he was a senior. But the thing that impressed me about Freddie from day one was his toughness. I mean, you know, a lot of people play quarterback not as tough as some of the other positions, but Freddie was extremely aggressive and tough, and he did a good job in the pros. Worked for Bill Parcells for a year, and he worked for Nick Saban. He GA'd for Nick Saban at LSU, so he's got a good background, and I think he'll do an excellent job for Cleveland.
We're talking with College Football Hall of Famer Gene Stallings, who was Freddie Kitchens' head coach in college at Alabama, of course. You know, Dustin asked you about Dabo in terms of could you see him as a coach. You've talked about his toughness and his leadership. Did you think Freddie Kitchens at the time, I mean, could you have imagined that he would have been a coach when he played for you?
Yeah, I did. In fact, more so probably than Dabo. Dabo was a wide receiver, was a walk-on, earned himself a scholarship, and then I hired him as a GA, where Freddie had a scholarship when he came there. And both of them had the what you look for in a quarterback. They had the ability to win, and obviously Dabo didn't play quarterback, but he was sort of a quarterback on the field. He was very knowledgeable about the game. And it just tickles me to death to be able to follow their careers. I've got several of them at a coach in the pros and also in college. The coach at Tennessee played me at Alabama also. So it's just fun to watch their success.
It's fun to talk with legendary coach Gene Stallings with us here on the hotline. You were a legendary coach. You played for a legendary coach in Paul Bear Bryant. And you were part of the Junction Boys back in 1954. Coach, what was that experience like?
Well, we went out in two buses and came back in one, and it was half full. And that was one of my original quotes about Junction. I never gave quitting a thought. It never even entered my mind. I would not have minded if I could have died. The training camp was extremely tough. The facilities were bad, and Coach Bryant was trying to weed out the guys that wanted to play and those that didn't. And he sort of had a meeting one night and said, "Guys, if you just hang in here, by the time you're seniors," we were all sophomores that year, he said, "we'll win the championship," and we did. So I love Coach Bryant. I loved his toughness and the way he handled the teams. And people want to compare him to Coach Saban. You know, both of them are very successful, but Coach Saban is a favorite practically every game they play. That wasn't always the case at Alabama, but the players played extremely well for Coach Bryant, and what a joy it was to play for him and coach for him. I coached for him for 7 years and just thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it.
What is it you think about some of these coaches you talk about that makes them so special? Bear Bryant, Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney, yourself, Mr. Gene Stallings. What is it about these great coaches?
Well, now, I also worked for another one, Coach Landry, Tom Landry.
Yeah,
and when you talk about pro coaches, he's right at the top of the list. I was very fortunate in my career. I worked for what I felt like was the best college coach ever, and that's Coach Bryant, and the best pro coach ever, and Coach Landry. And it was just a joy to be in their presence and see the way they handled the players and the knowledge of the game that they had. And I've had a blessed career just being associated with those guys.
You know, you mentioned Coach Landry. Obviously, you spent a lot of time with the Cowboys. You won a national championship. You also won a Super Bowl as part of that Cowboys staff. What was that like? Those Cowboy teams were fantastic. What was that experience like in winning that Super Bowl?
You just can't imagine how knowledgeable Coach Landry was. When I first joined the Cowboys, I'd coached at A&M for 7 years, and now I'm joined with the Cowboys. Well, he critiqued every practice reel. He would go from the offensive line to the defensive line to the quarterbacks to wide receivers, defensive backs, linebackers. He would go from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. That's how knowledgeable he was about football. In fact, I told him one time, I said, "Coach, I know this is going to surprise you, but I can critique the defensive backs. I've been coaching for 7 years, and I coached him for 14. And he said, "You think you can?" And I said, "Well, Coach, I know I can." He sat in on my meeting 2 days in a row to make sure that I knew exactly what I was talking about. So that's how knowledgeable Coach Landry was in all phases of the game.
We're talking with legendary football coach Gene Stallings. Gene, you were at A&M until 71 before you make the jump to the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL in 1972. How did that process go? Like, how did you know you wanted to make that jump to the next level?
Well, first of all, I got fired at A&M. When the Board of Regents called me in, I thought they was going to give me a raise. I never had an easy preseason game when I coached at Texas A&M. My three preseason games 1 year was LSU in Baton Rouge, Ohio State in Columbus, University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
Wow.
So that was my three. I did that every year. So I thought, and A&M at that time was a military school, no co-eds. It was a tough recruiting job, and I really thought that I'd done a pretty good job. We'd beaten Alabama in the Cotton Bowl, and anyway, they that let me go, and Coach Bryant called Coach Landry and said, "Now, Tom, there's a coach 90 miles from you that's fixing to get out of coaching. He's as good a coach as I know of, and I think you ought to interview him." And as a result of that telephone call, Coach Landry gave me a call, and I went in and had an interview, and I worked for him for 14 years.
Coach, you mentioned playing Ohio State, playing Michigan there in the mix. You know, obviously we're in Big Ten country. We're in Ohio State country here. What are some of those memories playing against the Buckeyes and the Wolverines?
Well, when we went into Ohio State, that's when Woody Hayes was coaching there, and I never will forget. Before the game, Woody said, "Now you'll have your football team out here at a certain time, and we didn't do that in the Southwest Conference. He said, "We'll introduce your team, then you'll stand to the side, and we'll introduce Ohio State." And I said, "Woody, that doesn't sound like too good an idea to me." I said, "There's 95,000 people here for you and 2,000 for me, and you might intimidate my players." And he said, "You will have your football team out here at 2:45 or whatever time the game was." And I said, "Woody, what time's the game start?" He said, "The game starts, say, at 3 o'clock. I said, "I'll see you at 3:05. Well, anyway, they beat the hand out of us. I mean, they were a good football team. The next week, we were playing Michigan, and Bo Schembechler said, "Now, it's customary in this part of the country that we introduce teams." And I noticed that y'all had a little discussion about it when you played Ohio State. And I said, "No, that's fine. It was the way Woody said it. He said, "You will have your team out here." Anyway, that was the year that they won the national championship. Beat us pretty good. Since that time in bowl games, I beat both Michigan and Ohio State.
Nice.
In bowl games.
I was going to point out, your last game you ever coached was in the Outback Bowl, and you beat Michigan. Lloyd Carr was the head coach, and Sean Alexander was your running back.
Wow.
Yeah. And Sean, the thing that I remember about Sean, when he was a sophomore, we were playing in a LSU in Baton Rouge, and I think he ran for a little over 200 yards in the second half. And the media was asking me after the game, said, "Tell me about this Sean Alexander. Why didn't you play him more?" And I said, "Well, we got two better than he is. He'll be a good player one of these days." And he was just a sophomore, and turned out that he was an awfully good one, did a great job for Seattle also.
Man, it's amazing, Coach. You coached so many guys that were great players, and so many guys that have become great coaches as well. What a tree you have! You must take a lot of pride in that.
Well, I really do, and to see the guys perform well and see their teams play well, that's just a real joy. The real joy that I got out of coaching was seeing a player graduate. When I was coaching at Alabama, you can't believe how many mothers or grandmothers would say something like this: "First one on either side of the family to ever go to college. Help him with his books." Didn't say anything about making a good football player out of him. They wanted him to graduate. So to see that player graduate, that was a real joy that I got out of coaching.
We're talking with College Football Hall of Famer Gene Stallings. How good a student was Freddie, Coach?
He was, best I remember, he was average. He was always eligible, but I never worried about him being eligible. Back in those days, you had to make certain or grade point ratio to be able to be eligible. And
right.
I never had a problem with Freddie. He was always eligible. So I wouldn't say that he was top of his class, but he wasn't the bottom of it either.
Nice.
So, Coach, 83 years old, you've coached forever. You've had so many great memories. What are you up to these days?
Well, I live on a ranch, and I raise cattle and hay and things of that nature. I speak all over the country, really. Mm-hmm. I've had a heart attack and two strokes, and so I've lost my peripheral vision. It's hard for me to see out of my right side anymore. I still drive and so forth. But I'm doing about as well as I can. I keep active. I'm involved in several things in the community. Like I said, I speak all over the country. So I'm still staying active and do 7 radio shows a week.
We love that, and we appreciate it, and you sound great with us. Last thing, Coach, have you had a chance to speak with Freddie recently? I'm guessing not since he got this job, because it's not even official yet. But have you spoken to him at all in recent months?
I did. I talked to him a couple of days ago, and I just wanted to wish him well in his endeavors and his opportunity to be a head coach, and told him there's anything that I could do to help. I was close to the telephone, but since he's received the job, I have not talked to him, even though I did call him to congratulate him, but did not talk to him on the telephone yet.
When you spoke to him earlier this week, was he nervous about maybe getting the job? Yeah, excited? How was he feeling?
He felt pretty good about it. When you're at the mercy of somebody else, and whether or not it's an owner or a general manager, you don't always know what kind of person they're looking for.
Sure.
And I told him basically, I said, Freddie, if Cleveland is looking for a football team who's going to be playing tough, their football team is going to be aggressive, then you're their man. Now, if they want a finesse type guy, I don't think you are. But if they want to be a good football team and be an aggressive team, then I think you're the guy for the Cleveland Browns, and obviously that worked out.
Well, Coach, you spent 14 years with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sure you still root for those guys. Can we convert you to be a Cleveland Browns fan?
Well, I'm a Cleveland Brown fan now, but I still can't get it out of my craw the way that they handled Coach Landry. They fired him, and all I had to do was just ask him to retire, and he would have been happy to do it. But Jerry Jones owns the football team, and he could do what he wanted to. But I thought it was a little it left a bad taste in my mouth to fire a guy like Tom Landry, who not only was a great football coach, but he was a great human being. And it's hard for me to pull for him the way that I did when I coached for him.
I don't blame you. I think I was handled poorly.
I'll be watching the Cleveland Browns, though.
Well, we love it, and we loved having you on, Coach, and we'd love to talk to you again in the future. Stay well, stay active, as you mentioned you're doing, and thank you so much for the time.
Listen, and take care of old Freddie. We all need a little help every once in a while.
We'll take great care of him. We're excited to have him as coach.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.